The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot-button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Users lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
Yep.
Beyond. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 317. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller. Alongside, he only does everything, Colin Moriarty.
Greg, if the playoffs started a day, the Jets would be the sixth seed in the AFC.
Man, the AFC is not doing well.
What?
That's some sad times for the AFC. Next to him, my bearded bro, Marty Sleva.
I got excited when Aaron Rodgers hurt himself last night.
Yeah. I think we all did a little bit. Yeah. Everyone who cheers for a good team.
Out for 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, this is the sports talk podcast.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking
Speaking
about.
Speaking of the sports ball, it's the king of the sports ball, Scott Lowe.
Hi, how's it going?
It's good, Scott. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Scott, are you tired?
I am tired.
Are you tired of people?
Most days.
Yeah. But today in particular, last night at midnight, or I guess this morning at midnight,
yeah.
You posted your review, that Call of Duty.
The Ghosts. Ghost Dogs.
How did that go?
I liked it.
Reaction first.
I liked it a lot. I know some others didn't, but I think it was it's a very interesting product. I think they do a lot of cool things, and it's an interesting new sub-franchise.
Sub-franchise.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah. So there's Black Ops, then.
There's Black Ops. There's potentially Modern Warfare. I don't know. Like, there's, Sledgehammer's doing their own thing, and, like, they're all in stealth mode, so who knows what that's going to be. But, Treyarch does Black Ops. Now it's Ghost for Infinity Ward, and I don't know what else they're going to do.
Why did it decide to take such a paranormal slant?
I don't know.
This is the year of the ghost. Fuck Luigi. Got Beyond Two Souls.
Hey, he started the year by hunting ghosts in Luigi's Mansion.
That's a good point.
That's a good point. Well, ironic. I'm just saying, we can't say it's the year of Luigi.
Did you do mic checks?
Yeah. Did everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Colin,
he's on top of it.
Colin, a few weeks ago, I'd like to think that, in general, and when I moved to this video-only role at IGN, Podcast Beyond became even more of my thing. Mm. So now I try to get it in here where you walk in, you sit down, you go.
That's nice.
Yeah. I know I've been on the other side. When you're in here and the video tech isn't working, me and Nick Scarpina started tearing apart the table you hate so much today.
I hate this table.
But then discovered,
the table's the worst.
We discovered we couldn't angle it the way we wanted to, so we had to take a break. Because otherwise it was going to be an hour-long moving things around to get back.
I feel like I'm on a panel with no audience.
Yeah. You do have an audience, though. We videotape
the entire internet.
Holy crap.
We put up the Podcast Beyond. We're
going to
start putting
internet.
The Podcast Beyond up as a complete video, too.
Ooh,
by the way.
Really?
That's exciting.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Stem to stern. No B-roll. It'll be up there if you want to watch it.
We've been doing this for 300 and some odd episodes.
And look at like a well-oiled machine. Nothing changes. It's the same thing.
But it's just getting bigger and bigger, and we just keep it audio. I like to stay true to our roots, Greg.
Fuck
I'm throwing
roots.
The kibosh
Fuck you, OG. Too bad. I'm cutting the tree out of the planter and putting it upside down in a watermelon factory.
Fantastic. I've been waiting for that specific.
To be fair, like Marty's beard needs to be seen. Not hurt.
It needs That's to
true.
Be. It's true.
Yeah.
Also be hurt.
Scotty Lowe.
Yeah.
So what did you like? You don't have to lean back, Colin. It's not as bad as you make it
it's
out.
Pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
It is not. We've done panels before. This is easier to talk to each other on this panel than it is the other panels.
You can lean
I angle
like
this mic. Look, me and Scott Lowe booking and everybody looking at each other.
I really liked. It's great on next gen PS4 in particular because we're embargoed on Xbox One. But PS4.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is strange. I don't know why there's a separate embargo, but, such is life.
Do you really not know?
No, I don't know either.
This is one of those things. No. The internet, I am in the dark like the rest of the internet commenters who are just like, clearly this means there is no Xbox One version.
Xbox has had weird embargoes. Like, I still haven't seen Black Flag on Xbox One.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I think we're all missing the point that the console hasn't come out for, 3 weeks. Yeah. So maybe they're just trying to
make
it so that people are talking about these games.
Yeah.
Sure. But do you think they're talking about them now in an incredibly negative light? Not incredibly negative.
Well, I mean,
it
looks suspicious, and maybe it is, but I'm just saying that maybe there's more to the story. I mean, maybe they just want to wait until the PS4 comes out, and then they're like, okay, our reviews can now run.
Sure.
That way people are talking about my console.
But yeah, to your point, like, I quite literally do not know why.
Okay.
Like, all I know is that it was a Microsoft-imposed embargo.
Okay. Did you play it on Xbox One?
Yes.
Okay.
Extensively. But the DualShock 4, actually, like, I've always kind of seen it, like, you know, yes, it's a big improvement over DualShock 3, but I'm still kind of leaning Xbox One controller. But this is my first opportunity to spend like hours and days with it, and I actually really, really enjoy it.
Mm.
Yeah, I think the kids are gonna like it.
Ooh.
Did you sleep with the controller like in a snuggle kind of spoon position?
Big spoon, little spoon.
Yes, I did. But it was funny because it was a situation where they would like. That we had like a setup in our rooms where they would like bring the consoles in and out, and each day would like rotate. And I had when they were setting up the PlayStation 4, they were like, "You have to leave," and I was like, "Okay." So I had to leave my room and come back, and there it was, and it was all pretty and stuff. And,
That's funny.
Yeah. They were like wiping it down, probably.
Yeah.
Getting through the 45-minute boot menu. They didn't tell you about that in the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, but no, overall, like I mean, the PS4 version in 1080p looks amazing.
So now, looking at it, look, Marty and I, or I guess, yeah, Marty's reviewed, obviously, Assassin's Creed. Mm-hmm. I played a lot of it on PS4. For me, looks beautiful, great. Still seem like, you know, an up-resed version of Assassin's Creed PS3 or whatever. Is that how this felt, or did this feel like they, you know, downscaled it for PS3?
It definitely feels like they started at PC and scaled it down for next-gen and then down to, like, the versions... between the two, like next gen and current gen, because it's one of those things where like Call of Duty is really hard to like notice the differences on like a little compressed window in a web browser. Like,
sure.
And this is especially true. And in next gen in general, I think is going to suffer that problem, like really getting that idea out there that it looks that much better. But when you see it in person, you're like, wow, this like looks awesome. It's like the detail of the characters. I mean, Call of Duty is never going to like trump somebody like DICE and Battlefield. It's just not what they're about. They're not about doing like, you know, cutting edge graphics, but like it is a lot more substantial and it is very, very pretty.
All right, fascinating. Yep. That's fascinating.
Fascinating. That's a good show.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been IGN's podcast. Now, anything else to say before we
go? I reached out for questions, like for people.
Oh, did you?
Saying, you know, if they had questions for
this
you.
This guy's hygiene.
Easy. No, that's what you want.
We're a
sensational
podcast. Is that dog?
There's a lot of questions about Riley the dog.
Yeah.
You murder it mercilessly.
It's an it.
Yeah.
So it's
End it becomes infected and you have to kill it.
Yeah, but no, I mean, I guess I kind of really covered them all. Like, I'm just like, well, how's the compare between Xbox One and blah, blah, blah?
And you're like, I can't say.
How's that on current gen? Are people going to be happy if they don't buy a new
system? Yeah, I mean, I'm at this point where I can't even look at current gen anymore. Like, it's
loving it with these current gen games.
Right. It's honestly, like, it's like, I when you see when you spend as much time as we have with these next gen consoles, it's like you're like just ready for it to happen. And the current gen is really showing their age at this point.
Yeah.
But no, I'm excited.
So that's it.
Yep.
You're excited about next gen.
Are we going to get a Call of Duty Ghost Declassified for Vita?
God willing.
God willing. Instigate's got to be up to something. What games are they working on right now?
Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
They got the contract yesterday. They'll have it out by the next week. Sorry. You're good people. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Podcast Beyond IGN's PlayStation Podcast. Let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news.
Do it, Marty!
Marty did it. He was doing it.
I was doing it.
I want to see
it's especially
more.
Awkward now that it's on camera.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's just like...
This podcast couldn't possibly get any more awkward than it already has been. Number one, MLB 14, the show, has been revealed.
Yeah.
Under development at Sony San Diego, no surprise. The game will be released this spring for PlayStation 3, PlayStation Vita, and you guessed it, Greg.
PlayStation 4. Go. Oh.
Nope, PlayStation Go. Pocket Station. The PS4 iteration looks staggering. It really does. Go to IGN, check out the trailer. It looks fucking awesome.
Speaking of that MLB The Show, Niels writes in. He says, yesterday's reveal of MLB The Show got me thinking. Sony could really acquire an advantage over Microsoft if they would buy the exclusive rights to making an NFL game. I feel Sony San Diego is more than up to the task, and EA's deal is up after the season. What are your thoughts on this? Thanks.
Love that's not going
to
happen.
So
it's a lot of money. Go toe-to-toe with EA?
Yeah, it's going to be hard. I think So when I did the history of Sony San Diego some years ago,
yeah.
I talked to Christian Phillips, who I believe listens to this podcast, by the way.
What up, Christian Phillips?
He runs Sony.
He flips his car listening to the show.
He runs Sony San Diego, and we talked a lot about the exclusivity stuff, and he wouldn't really go into it, but it seems like Sony might have been in the conversation back in the day.
Yeah.
At least preliminarily, to try to get the NFL license. Because we remember when they were 989, Sony San Diego wasn't specifically 989. The Foster City Studios, that was 989. That was their building number. Yeah. And that 989 has this great sports pedigree. And, you know, they made football games. Game Day. So it would be cool to have them go back. But Sony San Diego itself is not capable of doing the football game. That team is made specifically to do a baseball game in 11 months every year.
Well, sports are sports. It all just transfers over there and catching balls.
It would be huge. I mean, so the show is exclusive, but they don't Sony San Diego didn't have MLB license exclusively. 2K also has it, and that was up this year, and they're not even making a game, which means that is the only baseball game on the market in 2014. So that we'll see how that really does well for them. I mean, they were even telling us that when the last year they did the PS2 version of the game, which I think was 2 years ago, it sold like over 100,000 copies. Yeah. So like that's just the PS2 copy of the game. The Vita version does well. The PS3 version does really well. No cross-buy between them, but they do cross-play, cross-save.
Everybody loves that cross-buy.
So yeah, we'll see what the future is. I would like to see them try to do something like that, but it would just be cool, even if they didn't have it exclusively, to try to do an NFL game again.
Marty.
Yeah, buddy.
You're an industry insider. do you see that? I mean, what's going to happen with NFL EA?
I mean, I would love some sort of parody, like another company to make an
NFL
game.
I can't imagine it happens.
Like,
though.
Do you? I mean, remember the last? Was it the last NFL 2K game? The one with
2K5 cover? Everybody loves 2K5. Yeah, every time you review a Madden game, everybody wants.
Yeah. The price was awesome. The price was right on that game.
Yeah, and there was first person.
It's not near. It's not nearly as good as everyone remembers.
No,
it.
Absolutely not. But I mean, I think that sort of competition would just make, you know, EA have to sort of step up and do something different.
Sure, I think competition's great. You know, I mean, it does spur on things, but I can't see. I mean, like, unless the NFL is like dollar signs in their eyes, but EA's got so much money to throw around.
Yeah,
sure.
NFL doesn't really. I mean, when the NFL made the deal, the NFL is growing so much every year, more and more money. They're just, it's like so much money. America's most popular sport by a landslide. A lot of TV money, a lot of ad money. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that they even need EA's money. You know, like and like the grand scheme of things, like how much money can they possibly give to the NFL to be like, this makes it worth our while to give you exclusive rights to NFL and NFLPA. I think, you know, DirecTV's deal is up next year too. Like, I think next year is the last year, and they're never going to do that again. Like, the NFL is going to be everywhere on everything. They have that thing with Xbox One right now, but I know a lot of people were talking with the NFL Sunday Ticket package to like put it, like maybe Google or someone would be interested in that. Do it for free, you know, like run ads on it. Like, it would be, I think the face of what NFL does with exclusivity is dying.
Yeah, it's overall market-wide like an antiquated model. Like, exclusive models with, you know, Comcast and like stuff like that, where like you can only get certain content when you do a package or anything like that. When you do that, like, it's just like at this point, everyone is like, we're just behaviorally trained to like want stuff like on demand at this point.
Yeah.
It won't work.
Yeah.
And what's going to, like, even this year, DirecTV now had a go on the browser for the first time and on your tablets, because it's clearly not working out for them, like, I think. And we had it on PS3 for a couple of years, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with Scott. I think it's going to go the way of the dodo. I mean, it works. It doesn't work for the NFL.
You weren't expecting to be on a sports podcast, were you?
Still really have no idea what you guys are talking about. When you said DirecTV, I'm like, oh, thank God.
Number two, God of War Ascension's director Todd Pappy has announced that he's leaving Sony Santa Monica to pursue opportunities in Germany. Pappy had been
he's got a family. I don't like him taking him to a foreign country.
Pappy had been in Santa Monica for years and worked on all the God of War games before ascending to director, pardon the pun, Greg.
No.
This doesn't come as much of a surprise considering Sony Santa Monica recently brought back Corey Barlog, one of the creative forces behind the first two God of War games, and the director of God of War 2, which a lot of people still think is the best God of War game. I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist here, but I'm wondering if there was some conflict or some strife behind the scenes. Ascension didn't do well.
Nope.
I don't think God of War fans want online. I'm not sure that we're ever going to see that again.
Yeah.
And it seems like bringing back an old school, like an old school G.
An OG.
That
someone who was hot on the streets.
Yeah, someone that was hot on the streets back in the day.
Get Trilogy David Jaffe up.
Yeah,
there.
Get the Trilogy.
Trilogy.
Corey Barlog in there to make a more standard God of War game.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that's interesting. We wish him the best of luck. He's a nice guy.
What's he doing in Germany?
I don't know. It just said that I don't know.
Pretzels.
I think he's
pretzels. Do Germans make games?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Call it something about the pretzels.
Pretzels are great. Can't eat them anymore, but they're good.
Yeah, I know.
Number three.
Downer.
Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes finally has a release window. It's coming in spring of 2014. Will act as a prologue to Metal Gear Solid 5. It will come to PS3 and PS4 in addition to Xbox 360 and Xbox One, and will cost $19.99 on the older platforms, $29.99 on next-gen platforms. Konami must be desperate for money.
This is horseshit.
I'm totally
it's complete horseshit.
As if this whole Metal Gear Ground Zeroes Phantom Pain couldn't get any more bizarre. Now it's like what their prologue demo. It's like GT. What was it? GT 5 prologue, yeah. Right? What is going on?
No, to me this is like the tanker in Metal Gear Solid 2, right, which was free on the Zone of the Enders.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that's why I bought Zoe.
Yeah,
that's why I bought that disc off of eBay.
Like this is ostensibly one mission. It's one mission that we've seen before that it can be solved multiple ways, but $30 for ostensibly one mission is sort of insane.
Yeah, I mean it seems like it's a money move, right?
Yeah,
Konami has nothing.
Nope.
But Metal Gear. Okay, so here's my argument though: they don't have a game to insert this demo in.
They could do it with Castlevania.
I bought the demo off of eBay anyway. What's the big difference? How many people bought Zoe just because they
bought
it?
A lot. Yeah. I did. A lot of people bought
Zoe.
So is
it really... I mean, they're really, if anything, being a little more honest about it this time.
Yeah, I guess so. It tricked them into making it Zone of the Enders 2. Like, that's sure. How well that game sold. Yeah.
Right.
I agree with what you're saying. I hear you. I just think it's like, Konami's in a bad way, like, clearly. Yeah. And Castlevania's dying.
Silent Hill's
Pez
gone.
Is getting destroyed by FIFA. Yeah, Silent Hill, like... They have to milk this Metal Gear Solid 5 thing. Because, like, what are they going to do when Metal Gear Solid 5 comes out? Like, what else is there after that?
Do you guys think that Metal Gear Solid 5 will even do as well as previous releases at this point?
I don't know. Metal Gear Solid 4 destroyed on PS3.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, actually sold PS3s. I think PS3 sold, like, 800,000 units or something that month it came out.
That was the light at the end of the tunnel forever.
Yeah.
It, like, the crappy launch, nothing going on, too expensive. People would, like, just hold on until Metal Gear.
Yeah.
Hold on until Metal Gear. That was, like, the one thing.
And I think it'll sell really well, especially because it's cross-generation. It's both platforms.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
I wonder how it scales, too. I mean, that game looks incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be... something to see, especially when Phantom Pain releases and it's all big open worldy.
Yeah.
I'm more interested to see what Konami looks like in 2 years.
As a Metal Gear fan, I'm happy to get it. I'd rather get a taste right now, or a part. I guess not even a taste, right? Because granted, it's one level, one mission, but would that have been in the Phantom Pain to begin with?
So that's gonna be the weird thing if it ends up being in Phantom Pain. Like that
would be really weird.
That would be shitty, gross.
Yeah.
I will say just on the Konami tip, Lords of Shadow 2 looks rad. I don't know how many people really care about that game, but I think it looks awesome. It is awesome. I played it at Tokyo.
Is that next year?
Yeah, February, I think.
Sometimes you talk like you have two personalities in there. It looks awesome. It is awesome. I played it. you could do a one-man show.
I talk to myself all the time. Number four. Sony released a massive PlayStation 4 FAQ that bundles together a lot of questions asked about the new console, and subsequently, Greg, it answers them.
Boom.
Some limitations of the PS4,
rescue.
At least at launch, include not being able to stream all parts of any game, as developers can lock certain parts of the game from this functionality. We found out that Resogun won't do that. Voiceovers can't be done over shared video clips so you can talk in real time as you stream. Not really a big surprise. YouTube won't work with PS4 yet, although I suspect it will one day.
They got to be negotiating that, because they put in the thing, right? Like, it's Ustream and it's Twitch, and we're in discussions with other partners. Mm. Like, they have to, I don't know what is going on there, but YouTube would be foolish not to figure this out.
I agree.
Well, and YouTube seems, like, really kind of flexible on a lot of those things. I mean, they want their platform everywhere. I can't imagine that's, like, a huge holdup.
I don't know what the holdup is. That's what I don't get about it.
It's got to be Ustream.
What, that they have, like, an exclusivity thing,
like,
you think?
Partner, existing partners, I think.
Screw them.
YouTube won't work with PS4 won't play CDs or even support MP3 playback.
I don't like that.
Not a huge surprise.
Why do you not like that, Marty?
Music Unlimited.
How many CDs do you have?
I know, MP3 playback.
Oh.
Like, my
it's a little weird.
Yeah, I have my external hard drive hooked up to my PS3, and that's what I listen to music.
What's weird for me is, like, I have all my digital photos and digital music library that's, like, my old stuff on my PS3.
Yeah. Mm.
So now I'm going to have to back that up to a real hard drive just to make sure I don't lose it ever.
The most ridiculous decision of all is that you still can't change your PlayStation Network username. Shuhei Yoshida, who is listening to this podcast because he listens every week, something needs to be done about this. This is just getting stupid now. Like, we need to be able to change our PlayStation Network name. They're leaving literally, and I'm not even being facetious, millions of dollars on the table.
I like this. I stand by this, ladies and gentlemen. I stand by this, ladies and gentlemen.
I will flip this table.
If you are a kid, or not even a kid, you're an 18-year-old now, a 16-year-old, and you still have FartKnocker69 as your name, you're like, why can't I change it? Because you just learned a lesson about how the internet and your aliases work.
Yeah, but it's not fair, because people might have made those names as far back as the PSP.
Yeah.
Then they can't, the PS3 comes out, they're tied to this name. They've been tied with this name since 2005.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't You have to be able to change your name. You, have to, you have to be able to change
accountability.
Quite literally the most basic feature of virtually any product.
I'm not even about it. I like my name. I'll stick with my name forever. I'm saying
Moriarty dash IGN ties you to this place. You can't leave IGN until you can change your PlayStation
network. If I ever leave, I'll be proud to have worked here. It's not a big deal. It's just silly that like you could charge $10. Like just like Microsoft does, and they make millions of dollars. There are people that are desperate. Yeah. Like you read any forum about this, people are fucking desperate to change.
I'm not racist anymore, I swear.
It's one of those things where, like, yeah, I'm if there is like some real big technical barrier, which I have to assume there is,
yeah,
like,
that's got
to
be
like problem. There's no way that they're like just like consciously being like, nope.
Well, you can. I'm sure they can fix it.
Yeah, but I mean, there's alternatives. Like, you could have a method for transferring purchases and like trophies to a different account, and maybe locking it. You can only do it once or twice or something like that. Like, you could. There are workarounds or like other ways you can satisfy the consumer in that way.
And like Colin mentioned, they are wasting so much. Or they're leaving so much money on the table.
Like 99 cents just, or whatever.
It's like almost every article on PlayStation Blog or on like the thing they have on PlayStation Blog where it's like, what do you want us to do next kind of thing. It's like the most top voted thing. It's like and I'm sure that they know that people want it to be done. But, Shuhei told us a while ago, two podcasts beyond, at E3 ago, I think, there were some problems with getting trophies on the Vita and all these things, and they did it. And like, it just takes time. So
It's weird that, with PlayStation 4, they haven't allowed them. That you'd think that'd be such an easy. The other thing, real quick, I've been getting a lot of tweets about this. I'm assuming you're about to move on. FAQ talks about, being able to swap out hard drives.
Yeah.
IGN, me, Greg Miller, I still plan on doing that day one, putting in a new one. We'll do a video about it.
A bigger one than 500 gigs?
Yeah. I still haven't picked it because I need help.
Use that terabyte.
I want to go 2 terabytes.
Whoa.
Number 5. Sony released its newest quarterly financial report, cutting its profit forecast by 40% in the process. TV and smartphones continue to stymie Sony's financial growth, and its movie company is also struggling. However, the PlayStation section of the business is considered stable, and console sale projections have increased. Sony lost a very modest, almost completely inconsequential $8 million during the quarter. Nothing to a company that big. Much of the loss is being blamed on slowing console sales in anticipation of next gen and the Vita price cut. Also, we're going to have to start dealing with R&D costs for PS4 soon.
Is the $8 million just PlayStation specific, or is it company wide?
Which is nothing. But they made something like $10 million or something last quarter, which is like nothing. I think that they're going to be losing more money before they start making it.
It's not has nothing to do with PlayStation though.
No.
Like those TVs are like still egregiously expensive, and the smartphones are by and large terrible.
Good.
Even the PSP phone?
The Xperia, the Xperia Play that Goldfarb insists on reminding me of constantly.
Number 6. Sony talked a bit more about remote play between PS4 and Vita, noting that it will work best if the Vita and PS4 are connected on the same Wi-Fi connection. As far as I know, this isn't actually news. We've known about this for a long time, but I'm reporting on it because the internet is treating it like new information. As far as I remember, like when we were at Sony at the reveal... When we were with Shuhei Yoshida, they said it.
Local. Yeah. It was always
so I don't know why everyone's
local.
Treating this like this is new information. It's not.
Yeah, like the...
Believe it or not as many people pay as close attention to PlayStation fanboys as we do.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's one of those things where, like, I think it'll be a long time before we get to that realization. And I think it was, like, Sony definitely deserves some trouble for, like, putting that vision out there so quickly with the, like, the ecosystem of PlayStation video.
The commercial. Commercial.
Like, where you're, like, on your smartphone and stuff, like...
Yeah, they definitely...
That was really premature because they're basically setting expectations that they won't... I'm sure they won't be able to live up to until, like, 2-3 years from now.
Yeah, Gaikai's on it.
Yeah.
Number 7. Sony has noted that online passes for PlayStation 4 games are unlikely. Any first-party game published by Sony will not use online passes, and it's unlikely that third parties will opt to either as they're phasing them out. This is likely a response to the fact that PS4 requires PlayStation Plus to go online, similar to Xbox 360 situation with Xbox Live Gold. So, that's that.
Yep.
They tried to sneak that one in E3. Remember that? That was fun. Number 8. PlayStation Vita's newest firmware update, 3.00, is now live, and it's a very important update indeed, Greg. We updated it last night, yes. While firmware 3.00 will put parental controls on the home screen, add a panoramic camera setting, give your friends list a new layout, and more, the most important thing it does is ready the Vita for remote play with PS4. Once you update your Vita, you'll find a new icon that will let your PS4 and Vita speak. It's happening, Greg.
It's so close, Colin. It's a week away.
This bums me out. I was kind of hoping that they would adopt like the PS4 UI design on the PlayStation Vita, because it is just
Vita UI
so terrible.
The worst. Yeah. I don't like those bubbles.
I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot here.
Right.
So we'll be as vague as possible. Mm-hmm. But do we know when we can tell people to look for PlayStation 4 reviews or hardware or games?
I know when that is, but I don't know when we can tell anyone.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. So soon.
Next It'll week. Be soon.
Because it can't be more than 2 weeks.
I would say we're in the week range.
Yeah. Okay. I would like to preface the hardware review. Like, it's one of those things where we may have an opportunity to, you know, play with these systems early, but it's like, for a product review like that, it requires like real home use.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I don't want to, like, I want to be as fast as possible with it, but I don't want to rush it. Like,
yeah, you gotta
I,
get
like,
the firmware update. You gotta it's like, take
it's,
your time.
Like, me sitting in an office playing with a PlayStation 4 is not a realistic representation.
Yep.
Or like in an event or something like that. Like, you know, it's definitely something that we need to take our time on. So please be patient.
Chris Brown, then in parentheses, not the singer.
I don't like that guy. Don't like that
not
guy.
Not the singer. It's probably not the same one. I would have put not the woman beater. Because it all falls down to where you go. He writes, and it says, Beyond. Will the Sony PlayStation 4 review event be live streamed? Scott, 1 week from today, we will be in New York City.
Yes, we
will.
We will
be playing PlayStation 4, probably. Doing stuff with it.
Nope.
Feeling it on our naked bodies.
Nope.
I'm just going to rubbing that trapezoid on your body.
You're just going to eat pizza?
Yeah.
I'll eat some bagels with you.
Yeah.
So, for Chris Brown's sake, no, we will not be live streaming that.
We personally will not. We don't know if Sony is, are we?
I only care about what IGN does. I don't care what Ray Gutierrez is, whatever Clubhouse music show he's streaming over there.
We'll have more details on that event soon. I'm staying behind because I'm going to man the ship here.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot going on next week for PlayStation.
Yeah.
The Sony and, of course, on IGN.
The thing with Scott Lowe and I over there is, like, we're not going to be live streaming it, but we're going to be turning videos left and right.
Yeah.
Sure. I will be. I don't know what Scott. And we'll be.
Well, I'm going to be eating pizza. I'm watching you do all the work. Yeah. But, no, we'll be, like, tweeting and videos and stuff like that. You know, definitely.
There'll be plenty of coverage out of it.
Will there be Vines?
Oh, there'll be some Vines.
Can we look forward to Vines?
Game over.
I don't like Vines.
Twitter. Okay, there won't be any for you then.
I don't want to derail this, but can we all just stop and appreciate the fact that it is so soon? Like, it's happening.
Crazy, right?
Like, it's every time I stop and think about it, I've been so busy the last couple of weeks, I haven't even stopped to think about it, but, like, it's next week.
Yeah.
Like, that's happening. Like, that will be at my door.
It's so exciting. That weekend. It's on.
Yeah.
That weekend. Because, you know, we'll finally have our retail units, and we can, you know.
You mean the 15th?
Yeah, the 15th. Yeah, like, that Friday, they'll come. I'm just going to grab it and, like you said, just rub it all over my naked, moist, oiled body.
Immediately start streaming. Follow Game Over Greggy on every video service possible.
I'm going to immediately do that.
You're not even going to leave the office and go home?
No, I'm going to go to my desk. I'm going to take my little sword cutter that I have to open the tape on the package.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the PlayStation 4 out. I'm going to take this body, you know, baby oil that I have in
the
my
mayonnaise.
Desk. I'm going to
just grease yourself
take
up.
Some Hellman's mayonnaise. I'm going to rub it all over my body. And then I'm just going to take the PlayStation 4 and just kind of rub it on my chest a little bit.
Yeah.
Like a man would.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do.
I don't see how that's unusual at all.
You guys may not see me for a while. I'll just disappear.
Cool.
Yeah.
Have fun. It's a good time to disappear.
Real quick, too, before we switch gears, Chris Brown's PSN name, I need a rubber. So I wonder if he wants to change it or if he's happy with that. Sounds like he's more embarrassed
that was
by the name
pretty
Chris
good.
Brown.
Yeah.
He's not doing well in real life on the PSN with the name right now, I don't think.
No.
All right, no one will remember Chris Brown in 10 years, don't worry about it.
Marty.
Yeah.
Rihanna will.
Marty.
Too soon.
Yeah, buddy.
Next gen starts next week.
Yeah.
That's super exciting.
No, technically it started last year with the Wii U.
No, it didn't. I don't even want to go down this road.
Man, I've been using a Wii U. I'm doing this Wii Fit thing. I'm getting ready for that Mario thing.
You're looking slim.
What a counterintuitive
everything
ass backwards system the Wii U is.
Seriously.
Who
man.
The fuck designed that thing? Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Next Marty. Gen.
Yeah, buddy.
Games are coming out for the next gen.
Yeah.
Next week.
Yeah.
But if I wanted to go somewhere to find out what games are in stores right now, where would I go?
IGN.com?
Close enough.
That's good. That's good. The official list of upcoming PlayStation software on all three platforms by
the IGN.
We've been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
Amen 2 comes out on
PS3. Amen!
That's it.
I was trying, the whole time I was looking at this, I was like, what is this, like, Triangle Man 2?
Oh, that's why I wrote my A's. So Amen 2 is a sequel to Amen, which was a Vita launch title in Europe, and it just came here recently.
Is it about Army Men?
I have no idea.
Oh, man, remember Army Men?
Yeah, that game was rad.
Ben 10 Omniverse 2, digitally. Call of Duty Ghosts for PS3 only digitally. That'll be available for PS4 next week digitally. Storm. I'm sorry?
I was going to say, I think you can even buy it now, even though the console's not out. In some cases, some retailers are.
Oh, yeah, they're pre-ordering it. That's true. Castle Storm comes to PS3, which is also already on Xbox 360. Cool game by Zen. We had them here a couple weeks ago. Final Exam, which is an awesome name for a brawler. Takes place in a school, I think. I like that name. How to Survive. No idea what that is. Guided Fate Paradox is a little roguelike from NIS. Comes out today. We'll have a review for that soon.
Excellent.
On Vita, Amen 2 comes out as well, and Castle Storm. Both of those are cross-buy, so if you buy them on one, you get the other for free.
Yay.
That's it.
Yay. Ladies and gentlemen, Podcast Beyond's nothing without you. Remember, be part of the show beyond at IGN.com, just like Tanner did. Tanner writes in and says, Beyond. I will be dropping $400 on launch day for the PS4, but not planning on buying any games. I have PlayStation Plus and was wondering what games will be free for me on launch day, including free-to-play games.
Rezogun and Contrast.
Yeah.
That's your PlayStation Plus one. Is Blacklight Retribution still a launch title?
Nope.
No.
Okay, that got pushed. DC Universe Online goes back and forth. I keep hearing conflicting reports. Yep, it'll be there day one. Nope, it won't be the window somewhere
else. The PS4 official FAQ has it as a launch game, but it might have changed.
Yeah, it's back and forth. But PlayStation 4, number one MMO of all time, DC Universe Online will be there.
Greg, I'm totally ignorant to DCUO on PS4. What have they done to make it different, or is it the same game, just kind of up-resed, or like, what's the deal?
Yeah, it runs and looks like the PC version. Oh, they've overhauled the UI. They've put in different effects, some particle stuff. Make it, you know, the biggest problem with DC Universe Online and the PS3 was that, you know, technical errors trying to work with the PS3 architecture, make it all work. It had a lot of trouble.
Sure.
But PS4, supposedly, knock on wood, is supposed to be fixing that. And
did they make it interesting?
It was already the most interesting MMO of all time, Marty. You didn't try. You didn't play it. Get out of here.
I played it for like 35 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. So 35 more seconds than you put into Grand Theft Auto V.
Yep. Hey.
Gone Home 9.0, everybody. There's a review 9.5. You can trust in. 9.5! That's a good score. I like that game a lot. Everybody should play it. All right, so DC Universe Online at some point. Playroom, of course.
Yeah, Playroom's. You have to have the camera for that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
augment all the
realities.
And he's
not going to get that for $400.
You could do some things with Playroom without the camera, actually. Mm. Some very, very minimal
things.
Does
it have trophies? Do we know if Playroom has trophies?
I assume it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got that free Double Fine DLC coming next year?
Oh, right. Yeah. Double Fine knows augmented reality games.
Yeah.
They call them Double Fine.
Don't do that.
Nope. Nobody does that. Tim Schafer doesn't say that. All right. Here I have a bunch of question mark games. This is off the IGN list of launch games, right? Putty Squad?
That's not a launch game anymore.
Okay. Super Motherload?
That is a launch game.
But not free, right?
No.
Tiny Brains?
That's a launch game.
Not free.
And then Warframe I've heard of.
Warframe is ready for launch, but not... And it's free to play.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then another free to play, War Thunder.
War Thunder's not ready for launch, I don't think. That game looks fucking awesome. Like, I don't know if I'm actually going to play it, but that game looks really rad.
It's been out a while on PC, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you're in a plane, you're on a tank, you're on the... It's kind of like that Battlefield, right?
Battlefield. Yep.
Game, but the little one that you downloaded... the fuck was it called? 1942? Right?
Yeah. 43? Yeah, the new one?
Yeah. Yeah, I used to play with Scott Bromley. Or Scott Bromley used to play, and I used to sit there and watch him for hours because it was fascinating.
It's fascinating.
It kind of seems like that, but a little prettier.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in it. It looks kind of neat.
Marty? Oh, there it is.
We found it.
I knew there was a question on here I pulled just for you.
Nah.
Yeah, well, for me a little bit too, but mainly for you.
Okay.
Daniel writes in, he says, Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons has been one of the most memorable games released this year, and yet it seems to have gotten little to no mention by the IGN editors. Do you think Brothers has Game of the Year potential? You reviewed Brothers.
I reviewed it, yeah. I gave it a great score. I think high eights.
Eight something, yeah. So you hated it.
Yeah, obviously. Not quite as good as Call of Duty.
It was all
right. Right, yeah. No dogs.
Yeah, I liked it. I didn't quite love it as a lot of people did.
Yeah.
I thought the two-stick control system was interesting, but ultimately flawed and sort of hampered the enjoyment of the game. You know, I think it's great. I don't. To me, it's not quite Game of the Year material. I know that there's definitely going to be some indies that we're talking about come December. And,
well, for
and
me,
January.
What it was is I came off of Gone Home and blown away. I was so amazed, so touched with it. Blown away, so touched with it.
Visceral.
And then I saw Gary Whitta talking about Brothers, a couple other people talking about Brothers, went on the Xbox, downloaded it because I was like, I want to be tip of the sword on these indie games that are awesome. And I played like 45 minutes of it and nearly fell asleep. I'm like, this is boring.
Yeah.
This is not... It's not in the same echelon for me as Gone Home or Last of Us or any other games I'm going to mention.
Or Ni No Kuni.
Or Ni No No No.
Which everyone's forgetting came out this year.
No, I remember.
You better remember.
You better recognize. But yeah, I'm with you. It just didn't grab me for Game of the Year. So I saw Anthony Gaius, Quitter from IGN, now over at the Zombie Studios making these daylights and blacklights.
They're not coming out on launch, though. They missed that launch.
Exactly. I wonder why. Oh, probably because they hired somebody who doesn't know how to code games. That's probably the main reason he's not even working on that game. Anyways, though, I saw him tweet something along the lines of, like, if Brothers isn't in the conversation for Game of the Year on sites or something, clearly not enough people, none of the editors there played it. And I just responded back, I'm like, played it, didn't like it. That's why it will be in, I'm not going to, you know what I mean, why I will argue against it for other games. Yeah. But
Last of Us is Game of the Year.
Is it?
Yeah.
Or is it the DC Universe Sons of Trigon DLC?
I have to play Gone Home because I have to play Gone Home because I feel like that game's definitely gonna resonate with me.
I keep telling you to come in the living room and play it.
Yeah, I should. I should.
I started playing it.
It's awesome.
It kind of creeped me out. Is that natural response?
Yeah. Don't talk. You don't know anything about it, right?
No.
Go and play it tonight.
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch the Islanders game.
I'll rub your feet.
That's a little weird.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I'll tickle you.
No, please don't. I don't like that.
Oh, and Device 6. Go play Device 6.
Device 6 has been downloaded. I am prepared to play
good,
that as well.
Good.
How long is that game?
It's a tricky puzzle game, so it depends how good you are at puzzles.
Okay. I'm not good. It's a long
time. Okay, so long time. Yeah.
100 hours.
Ignacio from Chile writes in and says, hello and beyond.
Hello, beyond.
Beyond.
My name is Ignacio, and I'm from Chile. He has quick fire questions. Colin.
Yes.
If the Jets went bankrupt and the only way for them to get the needed money is through your donation with a Kickstarter campaign, would you do it?
What?
Colin might
explode. Colin hates Kickstarter. He loves the Jets.
That's right.
And he hates government bailouts.
No, I wouldn't do that. The Jets are like one of the most profitable NFL
franchises. No, we're not.
This is a fantasy world.
It's a hypothetical. You're not allowed to be like, no, they got money in the bank. I know it.
No, they do. They split their rent with another
they've
franchise.
They've gone bankrupt. Breaking news from the island.
No, I wouldn't. Breaking news from the island? No, I wouldn't do that.
All right.
Someone else would come in, and I wouldn't have to do that.
Would Vinny Testaverde come back and help them?
Hell yeah. I had a Vinny Testaverde jersey.
What are we talking about?
Scott Love. If you could only save one of them from death, who would it be, Greg or Colin?
Oh, man. Don't make me do this. I choose Marty.
Yeah.
I would let them both go.
That's better. That's better for humanity, I think. We just win.
Marty.
Yes, sir.
Which of these studios would you eliminate along with their franchises?
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Naughty Dog or Sucker Punch?
Sucker Punch.
Ouch.
It's a pain. It's.
I mean,
you got to clear, yeah, I mean, clear the mechanism and go. Yeah. Again, gun to your head. Somebody has to. You can't be a Colin over here and be like, no, they got a money in the bank. Everything's going to be fine.
I don't have the power to eliminate a whole studio.
I don't
Greg.
Know. Naughty Dog has had its time.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Everything they do keeps getting better. Greg, never seeing Portillo the dog again or only eating healthy food that you don't like the rest of your life?
Oh, wow.
Well, clearly, I'm going to protect Portillo.
I mean, how many years is Portillo
You're
left?
You're out of your mind, Greg.
How old is Portillo? Portillo is 8.
He's almost dead, Greg. And
oh my God.
And that dog is so vacant. You're gonna eliminate all of the food we eat together that we enjoy.
You've Greg, eliminated that with your damn diseases. That's your own fault.
That's not. I still go crazy with it. I just can't eat the gluten. But Greg, you had some great things going on the last few days that you couldn't eat anymore.
This could be like some monkey paw thing. What if you choose Portillo and then the next day gets hit by a car?
Then I know I chose true love and dedication.
Yeah.
And that's what I know.
Enjoy the next 80 years of salads.
Yeah. I'll just get another wiener dog.
That's a bad choice, Greg.
You know, I'm not gonna kill my dog to then be like, well, I can still eat chicken wings.
What would Dr. Barbecue say?
Dr. Barbecue? He would not be happy.
Who's Dr. Barbecue?
He's Ray somebody or other. He's every time I'm making these crazy dishes and tweeting photos of him, they're from his cookbook.
Oh, interesting. So is he an actual doctor? Did he go to medical school?
No. Okay. But his Twitter handle is Dr. Barbecue. Barbecue.
Oh, okay.
That's awesome.
He has a PhD from Princeton.
In barbecue.
Can we just be doctors of PlayStation? Yeah. Can we just decide
doctor,
that?
Yeah. Sure.
All right, cool.
Like the Bioware guys probably aren't actually doctors.
I never saw Dr. Mario's credentials either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just popping pills.
Went to school in Italy.
He went to Toadstool University Medical School.
Simon writes into beyond@IGN.com, just like you can and should. He says, with Rezogun appearing to be a game that is essentially focused completely on its gameplay, I wanted to ask you this.
Is gameplay
the most important aspect of a game in your opinion, or do you prefer it when other things such as story are more predominant? Mm. Beyond Two Souls, in my opinion, is one game that took one step too far away from gameplay, instead favoring the story.
I think 95% of the time gameplay is the most important thing. I think that there are exceptions to the rule.
Yep.
I think The Walking Dead is a perfect example.
Yeah.
But most, like, Rezogun is great. Rezogun's fucking awesome, and it is just because it's a game. Like, there's no story, and who cares? It's beautiful, but there's a gameplay hook there that I think is the most important thing. When you're playing a game, the story might keep you riveted, but the mechanics, I think, are what are most important, usually. It's my opinion.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think more games need to, instead of shoehorning a shitty story and just say, fuck it, we're not going to do a story. We're just going to concentrate on the mechanics and the systems.
And if you are going to do a story, like, do it right. Like, I feel like game developers are so far in their little bubble that they try to adhere more to what they think a good story is, as opposed to like really kind of taking a step back and being like, let's look at like the wealth of fiction and knowledge out here,
yeah,
and like how like successful stories are told. And following that, like, that was one of the things about the Ghost thing. It was like they had some cool ideas, but then they like kind of ruined the story by just doing like falling into the trap of just endless combat. It's like, yeah, why don't you just commit? Like, commit one to the story.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you know, for me, I always talk about being a story whore, and that's what hooks me for games. And for like, yeah, yesterday with Resogun during the live stream, like, I've played Resogun before, but that was the first time where we passed the controller around a couch.
Sure.
And how can we beat each other's scores and stuff? And it was like, yep, like, when I die, I didn't want to pass the controller off because I'm like, ah, I know what I screwed up, and now I want to jump back in and do it again and not make that
mistake. Game's crack. I can't wait for everyone to see how good it is.
Crazy that it's free on the PlayStation Plus. If you
did you make your own story about Resogun?
I did, actually. Like, my question was I didn't find a way to fit it in perfectly, but I wanted to do the Putnam Whipple of like, if space, how human breathe. Thank you. Because these like green men are just popping out. What are they doing? Why are they even on this mining planet?
Yeah,
is this their planet? Did they get captured?
Why is John C. Resogun so upset?
Yeah.
I did ask for the motivation for the aliens and then why they're doing this. There doesn't seem to be a good answer. One of the answers we did get was the female voice in all their games. You guessed that it was actually God, and he said that that was accurate.
Yeah, it's a unifying thing.
I love that voice is in every one of their games. The best.
Same galaxy. This is all happening in. One day the Dead Nation people, they'll have a ship fly in, and then they'll get sucked into little boxes and be green.
Scarlet and what's the guy's name?
I don't know. Scarlet was what it was about. She was the jam. That's all you
Scarlet Blake?
Wait, are we talking about Nashville?
No, sadly. I wish. Charlie writes in and says, Beyond.
Beyond.
I write in today to ask if trophies are dead. Let's look at a few symptoms. Greg and Colin no longer chat them up all podcast long like they used to, or brag about who's beating who.
Thank Christ.
Just a Tip is all but dead. It seems like the reason for this decline in trophy talk is simply because of so many games, and so many good games are being released. We, myself included, are more worried about just getting all these good games done and playing them, because as we all know, it's about the games, always has been. Colin, are trophies dead?
No, they're not dead. They're more alive than ever, but I ebb and flow just like you do, and so... You know, I was there for a little while. There'll be times where I get like 3 platinums in 2 weeks.
Right.
And then like you lock yourself
in there.
Right. And then I just don't want to do it anymore for a little while. I made a promise like a year ago or so that I wouldn't play bad games for trophies anymore, and I haven't.
What was the last bad game you played for a trophy? You
remember me.
Remember Me? I wanted to play Remember Me.
And that's what you told yourself.
I'm saying like
you walk down the hallway and you're like, hey, Remember Me. Like what, a 6-hour platinum or something. And I was like, oh, you said you were going to play bad games? Like, no, I want to see it through. I saw it in an event, and I thought it looked cool. I wanted it. You started backpedaling immediately, and now you're locked in.
No,
Concrete column.
Like Leisure Suit Larry was, like, the great example of, like, why did I
put
myself through this? Trophies are alive and well, and I like getting them. I always look at the trophy list
for
games. And I want to get platinums, but there's just too many good games, and I want to do other things, too. I'm just not... like tethered to my console and my Vita right now.
Charlie raises a good point. Yeah, that I hadn't thought much about it. That there are so many games. Like that's the big thing for me. Like, and especially now that I'm not reviewing games and I'm getting to play what I want. You know what I mean? Like, I jumped in last night to Batman Blackgate. Right, played a few levels and I was like, nope, sorry, there's better things for me to play. Bailed out. You know what I mean? But like, before I would have been committed, I would have had a whole bunch of trophies from that. But now I'm jumping back and playing something I want to do. Whether it's jumping into DC Universe Online or going back to Batman Arkham Origins and just going around doing Riddler stuff or, you know, trying to find stuff.
Especially this season. Like, this fall is pretty fucking nuts.
Especially with the consoles and everything else and trying to figure out where you can fit all these things in. Yeah.
I think, and Tearaway.
Yeah, Tearaway comes soon.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm super excited.
It's never moved my needle.
The first, like, hour and a half of that game is amazing.
Mm. It's like Banjo-Kazooie. I played the preview build. I wasn't feeling it.
You're a jerk. Thanks.
Sorry. It's not, you know, AAA games. Marty hates them, won't play them. But, man, you get some...
Didn't I just play Black Flag for, like, 40 hours?
Yeah, against your will. I heard the whole time you were just going,
stone-lock the door.
Nah, and you kept, like, smacking your lips like you ate a pill you didn't like.
It's no Gone Home.
Where's all the supernatural elements?
Dan writes in and says, Beyond.
Yep.
Since South Park has been delayed yet again, could this be a sign that it's coming to next gen?
No, I don't think so.
This is a sign that game is in so much trouble. Why won't it come out? It looks good.
Has anyone played that game?
Huh?
Has anyone ever played that
game? Ryan McCaffrey, I think, might have played a little bit of it.
Okay.
And then there's been a lot of behind-closed-doors demos at things like Comic-Con.
Sure.
Did you go to that one? I forget.
Yeah, I've seen multiple.
Did they play it in front of you, or they just show you a video?
Just show me a video. I've seen once at Judges Week, I saw someone play the game.
Yeah.
I don't get to play it myself.
Doesn't bode well for that game.
No.
That keeps getting pushed.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I hosted that Comic-Con panel with Matt and Trey or whatever, and like they were real funny about it, but they were also like, it seemed kind of honest of just like, man, we bit off more than we could chew on this. Why did we try to write all this? This is really hard. And then like, yeah, I don't know. The fact that it's taking so long is never a good sign.
You know, although, like, the longer it goes, I think the less advantageous it is for them not to bring it to next gen, assuming it's not too challenging. Yeah.
But we start dealing about install bases and everything else, right? Like, is it really that big of a deal?
I mean, but if it's delayed, if it keeps getting delayed and, like, you know, the, like, I don't
if
know.
If it doesn't
just,
hit in March, then you have to start literally legitimately thinking about it. Yeah, maybe it should.
But that few month span, like, a lot of current gen games are coming out. You have Final Fantasy, you have Dark Souls. So people are still keeping those.
Dark
those
Souls,
old,
nobody's even heard of. Nobody cares about that.
I will fight you.
It's funny how the tone has changed, though. I've noticed, like, I did, like an interview today about Ghosts and, like they were like, so is like the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 dead? And I was like, no, not at all. Like, and I've heard that from like a lot. I just get this vibe that people are just like ready to just cast it aside and move forward. Like, I guess it's just because it's been like one of the longer cycles. But I've heard from more and more people like talk about like the arrival of next gen as like the death of current gen. And I mean, it always is, but like it always seems like it's more like immediate and final.
Yeah.
Strange.
Very strange. Thank you. John from Virginia writes into beyond@ign.com and says, I've been holding in this question for months and months with the next generation about to release. With the next generation about to release in 10 days, I wanted to look back on this previous generation. What are some of your favorite PlayStation 3 memories? Least favorite. And finally, what is your favorite game of the generation? Thank you for reading this email. I hope it gets answered. I'm a big fan of the show. Keep laughs coming. Marty, make some laughs.
Chuckles.
There you go. Good job. Yeah. favorite memories from PlayStation 3. Least favorite game of the generation.
Wait, least favorite?
Some of your favorite PlayStation 3 memories. Some of your least favorites. He's giving you a wide swath of land to play with here.
What was that thing where you could have your PlayStation cure cancer? What was that thing?
Folding at home.
Folding at home
was dope.
That was kind of neat.
That was really cool. Yeah. Chris Roper left his on for 4 days straight once and got way ahead of Team IGN. We couldn't catch him after that. Because in the beginning, they were giving you the small cancer molecules to solve, and then they started getting bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. That was the problem.
Yeah, that was a neat idea.
Yeah. PlayStation 3 memories, one of my favorites was Metal Gear Solid 4. That second night, like I had played it all night. You know, we got our early copies, and I came in all blurry-eyed, and I was like, I'm going to play it just till midnight if I can make it there and go to bed. And then like at midnight, they were like, it's Act 4. We're going back to Shadow Moses. And I was like, fuck! And like, yeah, played through the night. Loved it so much.
Yeah. It's a really good game.
Least favorite, of course, the outage. Yeah. Hackers.
The outage was amazing.
Every day the news got worse.
I know. It was amazing. I don't know. My favorite memory was when the PS3 Slim came out, because the fortunes of the PS3 started to change, and people that had stuck with the console and tried to, you know, see the good in it finally kind of started to see the fruits of their labor with some comparable ports at that time and some good first party games, because it was really dire for a little while.
Yeah.
Least favorite memory actually was what we thought was going to be the year of the PlayStation. Literally the year of the PlayStation when like all of those games came out and none of them sold. And they were good games like Twisted Metal and Starhawk and all that. That was kind of disappointing because it was like, well, the PlayStation community always talks about how it has great exclusives, but why isn't anyone buying them?
Right.
So that was kind of a weird moment. But there's like a lot of good and bad and whatever. Good games, bad games.
You take the good, you take the bad.
Yeah.
Yep.
Take it all.
The good for me was definitely anything regarding Infamous 2. Love that game so much. The worst was anything regarding PlayStation Move.
Oh, God.
Except Datura.
Datura, Jesus.
I think Datura is like the most interesting mess of this generation.
Yeah, Datura was, I was really, I remember being really excited about that game. Yeah. It's cool. It's just, it's by, you know, Plastic is like a demo scene studio. They don't know how to make a game.
Yeah.
And I mean,
yeah, so it's a little weird.
And to be fair, like PS Move, I always thought was like a really cool idea. Like it blended a lot of really good concepts and was perhaps one of the most effective, like kind of controller based motion control devices. But, yeah, like, it never became fully realized, and, like,
It was too late to the party. I mean, I stand by this. I tell a story all the time, but seeing how sometimes people write in, they're like, I'm an old listener from 294, and I'm like, oh, my God. But, like, when they debuted that, man, I'll never forget being in that GDC auditorium and being sick to my stomach. I'm just like, you guys are – this is the completely wrong direction. Yep. You don't know it. You know what I mean? They just marched off into it, and then it was like, oh, nope. Yeah. Those casual Wii players aren't going to buy the PlayStation 3 and a Move and a Nunchuck wand.
Those casual Wii players aren't even going to buy a Wii U.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, that's what always frustrates me is, like, you know, Sony throws this stuff out here, but they never, like, fully commit. Like, they never just, like, put the full weight behind it. Like, they don't have confidence in their own ideas.
Right.
Like, if they had released a game that was, like, planned for Move and it was, like, exceptional, instead they just sort of left it to be, like, kind of neglected and kind of hacked onto things, which is kind of a bummer.
And that's back to the PlayStation 4, right? When I thought they were packing the camera in for $300 and it had the Move functionality, like, holy shit, this is going to be awesome. You know, $400. You know, this is going to be awesome, blah, blah, blah. But then, you know, oh, the camera doesn't come with it. And it's like, oh, why did you even put Move in the controller then?
Yeah.
Would the controller have been cheaper without it? Because no one's going to use this anymore.
Yep.
The camera now is just a peripheral at the moment, right, of the kids who want to live stream, which is great.
Yeah.
I bought it. That's what I want to do, but... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're not even really providing a lot of incentive, like, to buy it separately either. Like, it's like not only did they take it out of the box, but they didn't say, here's why you want to buy it. Like, and maybe it's just because they didn't have the resources to build that functionality in, like, with, you know, being able to control the UI and voice commands and visual recognition and stuff. But, like, it's just, like, if you're going to do that, like, at least give people a reason. Because right now it's just, like, on this weird, like, neglected island where it's just, like, yeah, you can also buy it, like, but we won't tell you why.
Yeah,
it's a little weird. In terms of Move, the most disappointing thing about Move specifically was that there was a handful of really good games on it that used it. Almost all of them from Zyndaggy.
Yeah, of course.
Sports Champions games were really fun. Medieval Moves was really good. Probably
Deadman's Quest.
Yeah, that was probably the best Move game. And Sorcery was cool. So it was, it was disappointing. But I remember when they announced it and then they tried to make it seem, and it probably is true that it's been in development for a long time. But like they look like they're just copying Nintendo with it. And
yep.
I don't know. Yeah, you're right. It was now they understood with PS4 what they needed to do.
Double down on gamers. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
I think my most disappointing was like the first and only time I ever logged into Home. I was like, this is
you put your bubble machine down. And you're like, what?
This is a debacle. No, I did it twice because then I went back when they put Hogwarts in there and it was just complete shit.
Yeah.
Is that even still running?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's bizarre.
It's got a community
that likes it. I mean, they're not huge, but there's definitely people who adopt it and love it. And
step out of your little apartment thing, you just get danced at for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I never used it myself. I always watch Greg do it. I'm like, there's literally no reason.
How much do we have to pay you to like go through Home using Move?
Oh.
Jeez, oh man, that'd be rough. I remember that. Do you have that?
I was gonna say. I already know where you're going. Like, if there was ever like a case where you're like, this is why you need to be able to stream or record video and film yourself, is when I made this horrible, grotesque woman in Home, and then I ran around griefing people. And there was one girl avatar. I ran around, like, I forget how. She started insulting me because I was ugly or whatever, and then I said something along the lines of, like, I want to make a home in your pants or something like that, and then she started getting even meaner, because, like, I'm a girl, too, in this thing. I'm a horribly ugly girl, and then she's like, oh, don't be like that, you're gay, all this other stuff, and then I just ran around yelling things at her, and she couldn't figure out how to leave, so she ran around asking people how to leave. She's like, somebody get this crazy bitch away from me!
Terrible. It's good stuff. It's like
terrible.
Yeah, there's a few good videos that could.
We never made that. Yeah, that could have been. Yeah, that would have been because we were in hysterics watching me chase this one really bigoted woman around.
It's not as good as the Mag video, but it's close.
No, the Mag video is untouchable. Jim Riley knew what he was up to. That's what I want, a Mag 2. Where's my second massive action?
Zipper
game?
Is dispersed.
Right. That's no good.
To the wind.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's been Podcast Beyond, episode 317. Thank you so much for joining us. Remember, every Tuesday, Podcast Beyond posts on IGN, iTunes, and every other podcast service of your choice. Come get it there, but make sure you go to IGN.com because that keeps the mics on. Come watch the reviews, read the articles, subscribe to that Prime. Gone Home.
Yeah.
Free game of the month this year.
Yeah.
So there you go. I feel weird when I say buy this and then this thing's free. That's weird, right? I always feel that weird about PlayStation Plus. Oh, the free game. You get this game for free. Well, you're buying PlayStation Plus. It's a weird thing to say. I'm not saying it's wrong.
Sure.
Just saying it's out there.
I don't know. I don't think it's that weird.
You don't think it's that weird?
No.
The day and age we live in?
No.
Zach Morris would think it's weird.
Yeah,
oh my God. He'd have a big phone, too.
Ladies and gentlemen, follow IGN at IGN. I'm Game Over Greggy. Colin is No Taxation. Marty, I can never remember.
Mick Biggity.
Mick Biggity. Oh, such a great one, too. You want to tell the Mick Biggity story?
Yeah, why? So this is why this is all about accountability.
Real quick, Scott Lowe. Before we get
really
lost in the weeds here.
No, it was, I think I was in high school, and we went to a Brewers game, and we were on our way back, and kind of, I was a little tipsy, and we went through the drive-thru of McDonald's. And I wanted a large milkshake, but I knew that there was a size bigger than large, and I swore to God it was McBiggity. And I kept demanding that to the person. They're like, that's not a size. I'm like, yes, it is. It's the McBiggity. It goes small, medium, large McBiggity.
Yeah.
And I demanded it. And then I think I went home and I played SOCOM 2 and I got that name.
And now you're stuck with it forever.
I'm glad.
I love
it. I have
that
a tattoo of it. No, I don't.
Oh, good. Oh.
The weirdest thing was when I went to review Black Ops 2 and we landed at the airport and there was a chauffeur with our gamer tags on it and he had a sign that just said McBiggity.
That's awesome.
He's like, I had three people walk up to me and take pictures with this thing.
Oh, my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, Podcast Beyond always ends with a song and a segment we call Ryan's Wrap Up. Today's song comes from Alan. Alan says, Beyond. For your consideration, we are Venting Bennett, a little Scottish troop dedicated to a great love for all things Arnie. I don't know what that means.
This is, I don't know what that is. A troop all about Arnie?
Then he goes on. Then he goes on to explain it. Yep, you nailed it. One song for each film. I think we can cobble together two albums of material before we have to move on to JCVD and then Seagal. Mm. This track is called Total Recap, which strangely enough recaps Total Recall, and we think it is pretty badass. He says, blah, 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 there's other junk here. You can find us on our newly started and never used, possibly never to be used Twitter, Venting Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T. At the very least, we'll read it. So tell us how much we suck, and we'll probably tweet some tracks out, too. Alan, it's our pleasure to play Total Recap.
Ladies so about those guys. Those guys right? sound awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to Podcast Beyond. This is Venting Bennett. Go give him hell. Beyond.
Beyond.
Yep. Beyond. We'll be right back.
As I recall, I think we're both kind of like dead. That was a great song.
It was.
Deep Blue Something.
Yeah.
You'd talk about it and you'd sound like you didn't know what you're talking about because you'd say, what's that band? Oh, who sings that song? Oh, Deep Blue Something? Like, oh, what is it? Deep Blue? No, you're like, no, that's it, man.
No, that's the
that's
band.
That's the thing, man. That's how they do it, man.
You guys not wear headsets? Is that the deal?
No, we don't wear headsets. You can if you want. Feel free to.
No,
I'll put them on time to time to make sure nothing's fucked and then. Something we fucked you won't even know about.
Yeah.
Sit ass.
Hi, Colin. You okay? Hello.
Yeah.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.